It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
It's the Drive Brouhaha, the Hop Monk Brouhaha. And today we're featuring Teeling's Irish Whiskey. Anne Marie Roberts is here. She's the California brand ambassador out of Oakland. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
How long has Teeling been around?
So Teeling Distillery's been open for about 5 years. We're the first new distillery to open in Dublin in 125 years from a very old whiskey-making family, but we represent a new generation of distillers focused on innovation and cask maturation and leading with flavor.
Cask manufacturing?
Maturation.
Maturation. Cask maturation, playing Saturday night at Hop Monk. They're playing at Hop Monk, yeah.
So most people might not know, but most of the flavor of the whiskey is going to come from whatever kind of cask it's aged in. So we're over 7 different genuses of wood, over 100 different cask types to age our whiskey, and doing things a little bit differently.
And how many different whiskeys do you guys make?
Here today we have 4 different expressions that represent 4 different styles of Irish whiskey, namely a grain whiskey that's made of corn, a small batch blend, which is a blend of corn and malted barley, a single malt that's 100% malted barley, and then the first single pot stilled whiskey to be produced in Dublin since the 1970s, which is very exciting. So we just debuted that product in January, and I've got it here for you to try today.
And I bet Mark did pot stilling when you started the distilling program at Anchor, right?
Mark's been pot stilling for years.
When we started up our little still in 93, we were the only pot still in America. So I can relate to their distillery being the first one back in Ireland.
And what does that mean, pot
still? Well, all the big breweries, big distillers, use continuous stills where you feed in your mash in the bottom and whiskey comes out the top, and you just keep feeding it in the bottom and it disposes of it somehow. But a pot distill is done in batches where you take the mash and you put it in the pot and you distill that batch. Am I correct?
That's right. What distinguishes a single pot still from a normal pot still whiskey is a percentage of unmalted barley, and that's what makes the single pot still a uniquely Irish style. The single malts are also distilled in a pot still, typically, not exclusively, but the single pot still category is only done by the Irish, and it's at least 30% of an unmalted barley grain, and that just produces sort of an oilier, more astringent whiskey with a lot of backbone that you can kind of chew on. So that's the last one we'll try today.
It is chewy.
Tell us about the one that you're doing, we're tasting now.
So you're sipping on the single grain, which is the most bourbon-like of them all, being a corn whiskey. But really uniquely, we're not aging this whiskey in ex-bourbon casks at all. This whiskey spends its entire 5 to 6 years of maturation in ex-Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon barrels.
It's a delicious whiskey. It's not all corn, is it?
No, it's about 95% corn. Corn doesn't have the enzymes needed to get fermentation started, so we add a little bit of malted barley just to get that process going.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I'm glad you like it.
It really is. What makes Irish whiskey different from other whiskeys?
Well, first and foremost, it's got to be made in Ireland.
Well, there's a start, yeah.
3 years.
I was going to guess that.
Right. 3 years plus 1 day old, which is kind of sticking it to the Scots, one extra day of aging. And also, by law, Irish whiskey must be aged in wood like oak. Not explicitly oak, just wood like oak. So that enables us to use a lot of different kinds of wood, whereas Scotch and American whiskeys are confined by law to use only oak.
Really? See, I didn't know that.
And
my whiskey knowledge is pretty nil.
Well, you're going to learn today.
Apparently.
And Irish whiskeys generally don't use malt made with peat, smoked with peat. Is that correct?
Not frequently. It's done occasionally.
Do you do any with peat?
We have used a little bit of peat in our 24-year-old whiskey.
What is peat? Besides my guest host on the show.
Yeah. Or Buttigieg.
Or Buttigieg, yeah.
Scotch whiskies, in the making of the barley malt, you have to sprout the barley, and then you have to dry it out. And so over the years, they burn, maltsters burn all kinds of stuff to dry out this malt. And in Scotland and in Ireland, they have lots of peat, which is that earth that when you dry it out can burn.
The bogs.
The bogs. hops, yeah. And so they dry the barley with the peat, and it takes there's many Scotch whiskies that are famous for their very peated flavors. It almost tastes like you're drinking dirt. And I've never found that with Irish whiskies.
There's a few of them, but not many. And we minimally use peat. But in the spirit of innovation, you might see some peated whiskies coming from the Teeling Distillery in the future.
Of course, now everything. Everybody's doing everything.
Let's try that other one then, too. So, you know what? I don't like peat as much because it tastes like Band-Aid.
It is the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha today. Our special guest is Anne-Marie Roberts, the California brand ambassador for Teeling Whiskey. And we're doing kind of a St. Paddy's Day thing a week early or something like that. Excellent. Mark Carpenter and Herlinda obviously are here, and our friend Cheryl from the KSRO sales staff is here, and she's the biggest Teeling fan that I know. So I said, she said, Teeling's coming in? Pop in. Yes, and she has.
I have.
And I see why. These are great whiskeys.
We're going to go to Seattle, Washington. Does it still exist? They're hurting up there. Joining us right now, our good friend who was in the studio with us last week, Tara Nuren. Hi, Tara.
Hey, nice to talk to you again.
Tara writes for Forbes magazine on beers and other adult beverages. So, is Seattle a ghost town? What's going on up there, and why the hell are you there?
Well, I'm here. I flew up this morning from Santa Rosa to conduct an interview for my book. It's an interview I've been trying to get for 3 years with one of the co-founders of New Albion, which was the first craft brewery to open post-prohibition, right there where you guys are,
right,
in the town of Sonoma. So she finally said, okay, come on up. So I jumped on a plane, and it just so happened the timing was a little strange. So here I am.
Long time no see.
Yeah, that's right. Hello. You dropped me off at like 5 o'clock this morning at the Schultz Airport. You know, as far as being a ghost town, I got to be honest, I haven't done much yet. I mean, the airport, there were people there. It wasn't busy. The Lyft driver who drove me to the place I'm staying said everything's been dead. And I can say that I do feel a bit of a higher level, well, maybe more than a bit, of I don't want to say paranoia, but caution more than I felt down in San Francisco. I mean, my cousin where I'm staying, for instance, is like super wary of me touching anything in her house because I just came from San Francisco and she's been like surrounded by people freaking out for a couple weeks. And I was supposed to get some reimbursement from the Seattle Tourism Bureau. I came up on my own, but they said, hey, we'll pay for some of your meals and stuff because you're here doing some reporting. And then this morning when I landed, they said, oops, sorry. Just kidding. Well, I don't mean to make light of it, but they said, I'm sorry, we can't reimburse you now because visitation is down so much. We just had to write all media visits out of our budget. So,
wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you had a great time in Sonoma County in the Bay Area.
I know.
Anyway. That's a good thing.
I heard
thing.
Mark said I should have just stayed there, which he's probably right.
Yeah. And Herlinda got you the tour of Anchor, where Mark started as a brewer in 71. That must have been a trip.
Yep.
As a beer writer, you've never been there before, right?
I know. Isn't that awful?
And Mark's right here, too, Tara.
Hi, Tara.
I know. Hi, Mark. yeah, it was a lot of fun. Scott, the head brewer who took over when Mark left, gave me a nice tour of the place. Mark, it was cool to see that the copper tanks are still in use back from the 1950s. I can only imagine.
It's a beautiful brewery, you know. It's one of the best.
You know, something visual that stood out to me the most, I'm sure that everybody remarks on this. You know, Mark, when I see pictures of you from back in the day brewing, everybody's wearing those white suits, and everyone still wears those. What's up with that?
Well, that was something Fritz Maytag started. He just he just thought when he was starting out, we were such a funny little brewery. He wanted us to look like we were a lot better than we were.
So you're talking about like lab coats?
No, we had like overalls, white overalls.
Oh, cool.
The guys in the lab did have lab.
We make Mike wear those here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now we wear hazmat.
So how long are you gonna, Tara? How long are you gonna be up there?
Yeah. Well, I'm supposed to stay until Monday morning. Honestly, I kind of want to go home. I've been gone for a while, so I may use the virus to pop out a little early as an excuse to pop out a little early.
Yeah.
But I do want to get to some breweries that I haven't been to while I'm here. I got an email from Pike Brewing, which is an old craft brewery up here in Seattle, just coincidentally talking about all the precautions they take to keep their guests safe and how they always wipe down all the tables and, you know, trying to make sure that they still get a little bit of a trickle of visitation. You know, I'm sure your breweries down where you are dealing with much the same thing, trying to reassure customers that it's still safe to come.
Yeah. Well, be safe. Have fun.
Thanks.
And it was great seeing you again last week, and we'll talk to you soon.
You can always come back here.
I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Tara Nurin. Okay.
It's my apocalypse place. Bye.
It's Teeling Whiskey with us today, and Marie Roberts has joined us from Oakland. Who owns Teeling? Give me more of the story of the history of everything.
So it is a family-owned company. It's Jack and Stephen Teeling are the founders, and they're still producing the whiskey with the help of our master distiller, Alex Chasko, who's been with the company since the very beginning, leading with innovation, leading with flavor, doing things a little bit differently, but rooted with hundreds of years of family tradition.
Yeah. Unconventionally Irish, extraordinary spirit.
That's right.
So I was thinking that, like, when I was asking our friend Frank Jacobo, who I went to college with, who you work with over at Teeling's, which is actually like a Bacardi umbrella over Teeling's too, right?
Yeah, kind Bacardi of. Has invested in the Teeling
right.
company.
Yeah, so.
You keep saying Teeling's with an S, but it's,
I know, I keep saying that.
There's no S. It's Teeling.
I guess it's more Irish.
All right, get it together, will you?
But I was thinking with all the parades canceling, like people can still do small parties, do things at home. Irish whiskeys. Actually, Tara went to Buena Vista and had the original, you know, California Irish whiskey when she was here. But this makes a killer Irish whiskey. But they can still do, you know, they can. Are there like, you know, recipes for cocktails and things on the Teeling website too?
Absolutely. On the website, you can find a lot of cocktail ideas, ways to spice up your normal Irish coffee, things you can make at home with what you have in your refrigerator and your cabinet. You can pick up a bottle of Teeling at the Total Wine and More near you or a BevMo. You can even ask any liquor store in your
Willoughby's
neighborhood.
Has it.
Well, I'm sure Willoughby's has it.
Yeah.
Folks should be able to special order it if they don't have it. You could just make that request.
So far, any of these whiskeys we have would make a wonderful Irish coffee, which is, by the way, probably the worst drink you could ever have. It's got animal fat, caffeine, sugar,
all
and
my
alcohol.
Favorites.
That's it. Boy, it's the best.
That's why it's a good party drink, right?
Now, Cheryl said to me earlier that she's such a fan of Teeling whiskey, but she finds it hard to find.
In restaurants.
In restaurants. So you go to a restaurant and you ask them if they have Teeling, and they go, no. And so then you,
most, not,
then,
not
then you
all.
Order vodka, you said.
Yes, and if they don't have Teeling, I order vodka.
Well, we are a fairly young company, and we're building this brand, so you should start to see it a lot more. We've actually won over 200 international awards in the last 5 years, which is unprecedented.
Tell us about this one we're tasting now, which I believe is the
single malt.
Single malt, yeah. Tell us about that one.
So the single malt, we were the first Irish whiskey to win number one best single malt in the world at the World Whiskey Awards. That was for our 24 year. But the whiskey that you're drinking here is our flagship single malt. This is a blending of 5 different wine-influenced casks. It is 100% barley. It's all malted barley. And it spends 9 to 23 years in 5 different wine casks. So there's a little bit of Oloroso Sherry, Madeira, Port, Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon, White Burgundy, or Chardonnay. let's see, did we get them all? Oloroso, Port, Madeira, White Burgundy, and Napa Cab. So a little bit of influence of all of those wines.
It's
on
and that
delicious.
Many years. That's phenomenal.
And Mark? It tastes like yeah, it's a no, I collection think it's, of lots of things. Yeah.
Yes. It's a beautiful whiskey, and I'm sure that we should all drink it by itself, but it would just make a great cocktail. And there's some good whiskey cocktails out there to look at. And honestly, I think the Irish coffee is just a fabulous drink. You know, it's, I always wind up drinking it way late at night, and then you stay up all night, you know.
My favorite thing to do with this single malt is put a little bit of soda water in it and the peel of a lemon. Just make a classic highball.
Yeah, yeah.
It's delicious.
There's another drink that I found out. At Costco, they have a jar of Korean lemon ginger. It looks like jam. And you put it in a glass, and you pour boiling water, and then you throw a shot of whiskey in, and it is so divine. It's really amazing.
Although, if you did boiling water, wouldn't some of the alcohol come off of it, you guys?
Probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, you put in enough.
So hot water.
Cool down.
Hot water. But it's delicious, yeah.
Yeah,
so
no, it sounds good.
It's kind of like on the line what you were talking about, the ginger and lemon.
Yeah, that sounds like a hot toddy. Sounds like it'll cure what ails you.
Yeah.
It is, yes.
We all need that now.
So the last one that you have in your glass here is the single pot still. This is exciting for us. This is the first single pot still whiskey to come out of Dublin since the 1970s. This is the first single pot stilled whiskey that wasn't produced at the Middleton Distillery in Cork. So very exciting.
Sorry, Mark, I can't.
Oh.
I'm doing a radio show, and I have to drive home, so I'm going to...
When did that stop you?
It doesn't usually stop me, but with the whiskey, I don't know.
Well, we can cheers. We can do a toast to the
Describe
Irish.
This. What's the definition of...
Of a single pot still?
Yes.
So this is going to be half unmalted barley and half malted barley. That's a big distinguishing factor between the single malt and this one. This is also... younger. It's a 3.5 to 4 years old. We're aging this in three different types of wood. This has got 25% virgin American oak, 25% Oloroso sherry casks, and then the other half is ex-bourbon casks.
Interesting.
But you might pick up a little bit more green notes, a little bit more oiliness on this one, some brighter fruit notes as well.
It'd make a great old-fashioned. It's
yes,
got kind of
absolutely.
Some fruit flavor to it. The this is all Irish barley.
That's right.
Malted or unmalted. And when you say virgin oak, that means you're bringing in new American barrels?
That's right. Not ex-bourbon barrels.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
For those familiar toffee, butterscotch, vanilla, nose notes that you might
use in them too.
And by using new barrels, you get so much more flavor earlier. You don't have to age it as long.
Exactly.
And to have a delicious whiskey, which this is.
And all this is made in Oakland?
No. This is made in Ireland.
I've heard of Ireland.
Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah. To be able to be called Irish whiskey, it has to be made in Ireland, right?
That's right.
Makes sense. So the American offices are in Oakland. That's where you work.
I actually don't work out of an office. I'm hitting the streets.
You're on the road.
In bars and restaurants and liquor stores all over the place.
And how's it going? I mean, these are fabulous products. I think when you present it to bartenders, they must like it.
People respond really well to Teeling, and I think that all of the awards that we've been winning help the consumer recognize the product on the back bar. So if we're doing our job right, you should see this in more bars and restaurants and more stores across the country and around the world.
And perhaps that it'll help if people like me go into a bar or a restaurant and ask for Teeling, and when or
Which
if they say no.
Which apparently you do all the time.
Yes, I do. But what I do is I request it. Well, can you get it in? You know, and if enough of us go in to ask for it and request it, maybe they'll bring you up.
Are you guys at Bottle Barn?
I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that for you.
I'm pretty sure you are. Their spirit selection is amazing, I'm
but
sure.
For St. Patrick's Day next Tuesday, you can pick up a bottle at a local store. People are going to hear this on podcast later, too, and get to look on the website, look for recipes and ideas, do a toast. You won't be in the parade, but hey, maybe you'll do your own parade with some pots and pans around the house, right? If you drink enough, right?
I do that every night. It's Teeling, T-E-E-L-I-N-G. It is the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. Today, in honor of next week's St. Paddy's Day, we have Teeling Whiskey Inn. The California brand ambassador for Teeling is Anne-Marie Roberts. She is our guest.
I'm, like, looking at the whole, you know, all around the world, people are, like, worried about things like, you know, well, are people going to be, like, during Prohibition, like, obviously, then people wanted it more. But then during the Depression, people, bars still did well, like, drinks still did well. And so I'm thinking that now people can still go get a bottle of whiskey. It's not an insane investment. And then you can still share and have some fun. You know, Mark's been practicing this for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Mark and I has been practicing a lot of stuff for a long time.
And now that I'm retired, I have to buy all my whiskey and beer.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it?
It does.
I'll give you my card, Mark. You can come drinking with me.
Very good. Now you're talking.
Anne-Marie, what are the price points on these amazing whiskeys?
These bottles are really reasonably priced. You know, the lowest price you might find on the shelf is maybe in the $28 range.
Mm, and that's nothing.
You know, you should find them all under the $60 mark or so, but we do have some single casks. We do have a number of age statement whiskeys that get up to 34, 35 years old, and at that age, they're in the many thousands of dollars per bottle.
Of course.
You can even find them. But if you do happen to see a 24-year on the shelf, it's worth whatever they're asking for it. That's the whiskey that won Best Single Malt in the World at the World Whiskey Awards. That was the first Irish whiskey ever to win the distinction.
Really?
So it's worth whatever anybody's asking for it.
How did you get into all this and become California brand ambassador for Teeling?
I spent the first 10 or 11 years of my career tending bar, so I got to know a lot of spirits that way.
You must have run into Cheryl. You got Teeling? No, but I'm going to go to work for him, so. I'm sorry, go ahead.
When this particular opportunity came around, it was just too good to pass up. This spirit is unparalleled in the whiskey market, so I'm
was
very
it in the
proud.
Bay Area that you were a bartender?
Yes, San Francisco and Oakland.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
So you go back to those bars now, and they have your whiskey, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and I'm happy to be sitting on the other side of the bar to enjoy one.
Very good, very good.
What? Don't look at me.
I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was signaling Mike.
Tell us what bars you were bartending.
Most recently, I was at Pacific Cocktail Haven in San Francisco.
Very nice.
So they've got Teeling on the shelf. They're actually rolling out a cocktail on their happy hour menu with Teeling, so you can definitely go in there.
What's
and order
in it?
One.
Yeah, what's in it?
It's a sangria. As the weather warms up, it's got some sort of a mulled wine. I think there's a port element which should play.
I like that.
We use port in some of our cask finishes, particularly in the single malt here. So, playing on some familiar tasting notes from our whiskey.
Check it out at teelingwhiskey.com, T-E-E-L-I-N-G. Anne-Marie Roberts, great to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Pleasure.
So when Tara was here, she actually went over to Mark's old distillery.
We already talked about that.
Yeah, hung out with the guys.
Yep.
I got to get by.
Not the brewery, but the distillery.
Oh, the distillery.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's called Hodling now.
My bad. Yeah, I just like giving you grief.
I know.
I keep saying that. I want to go in there and hang out with the guys and say hello, but then I think about the traffic coming home and I don't go.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is terrible. I'm just getting lazy in my old age.
Well, who isn't?
I guess that's it, huh?
I've been self... what is it, Mike?
Self-quarantining
my ass on my couch every weekend.
Very good.
For 10 years, yeah.
All right.
Anne-Marie, great to see you, and Herlinda, and Cheryl, and, of course, Mark Carpenter.
Thank you. Cheers.
We'll see you next week.
I'm around.
All right.
No traveling for a while.
Happy St. Patty's Day.